If I had a magic wand and I could undo this contract, I would do it.
And the pitch swung on, lined into left center field. On the run, Benintendi won't get it. It's a base hit. It'll go to the alley and all the way to the wall. Two runs are going to score, and Trey Turner extends his extra base hit streak. It's another double for Turner, and the Phillies now lead it 9-0.
He's an idiot.
Feels that way. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas Show. Jillian, what a week for the Phillies. We'll get back to all your Sixers calls. Do they need more at Embiid to win this series starting tonight, game two? And any updates we get on Tyrese Maxey? He's ill, apparently, this morning. Not going to be a shooter. We'll pass that along. Back to the Sixers in a few minutes. But the Phillies, Hugh, six straight wins. Outstanding homestand. We all know about the pitching. I mean, this is the best pitching staff
phenomenal
right now in the National League. But we got to talk about that offense. So a couple people here, and then we'll I think it's time for a victory lap, and it's not mine. So Trey Turner is red hot. We know he can do this. He did it last August into September. He gets white hot. He's hitting 348, OBP over 400, extra base hit after extra base hit. Trey is off to a very big start and looking very much right now like the player the Phillies signed. I mean, this is why they signed this guy, to be one of baseball's best hitters. Trey Turner, been very, very good. But almost just as impressive is Johan Rojas, who is off to a, last week or so, the best stretch of his career. You mentioned earlier, has a higher batting average than a whole bunch of high-profile Phillies. And when you add those two together, Hugh, with what we have with everybody else, we got an offense here that all of a sudden is picking up a little steam. 9 runs here, 7 runs there. I mean, what do you have to say for yourself?
You know, it took me a while to get to this point, to know baseball as well as I am and be able to wax poetic. So, but I'm not going to gloat because I know this is a long season. I'm going to take the same approach and the same tact that I've always taken.
Don't high road him here.
Lay it on thick. You're an idiot, Joe.
I just want to give the people who believed in me, all the diehard baseball fans out there who believed in my predictions and gave me shout outs this weekend, thank you. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for believing in me. And we got a lot more baseball to be played, fellas. You know what? We're World Series bound. But it feels good. It feels good to have all the naysayers and the doubters look at me this week and say, both of these teams that we played against were garbage.
You leave that out. That's details. You don't want to give yourself credit. I will. All right, so here it was. So last Tuesday, we came on frustrated with the Phillies offense. I think we all were frustrated. They weren't scoring. They were, at that point, 3.5 runs a game. It was 26th in baseball. I said, look, this is an average offensive team. I think they were bad, but I thought it was average. And Hugh said, average? They're going to average like a million runs a game the rest of the season. Here was our back and forth last week, and then we'll give you the numbers and what has happened since Hugh laid down the gauntlet. Mm. Well, you could say they're a good team because of great pitching and an average offense.
The offense is going to come around.
To what level?
At least 6 runs a game. At least the average is 6
Wait,
runs.
For a stretch or for the season?
For the season.
Not a shot.
No, I'll take that.
Hold on a second. We got to make a wager on this.
We can make a wager. I'm not afraid.
I'm willing to do something really embarrassing because there's no shot this team's averaging 6 runs a game.
Averaging 6 runs a game. I would take that bet. I will go out on a limb and say, yes, they will average 6 runs a game for the season. They're going to get hot. And when they get hot, it's going to be nuclear.
You realize that means they got to average like 7 runs a game between now and the rest of the season.
Yeah, I know. That sounds about right. Yeah.
It sounds insane. 7. Kyle, you hearing this? We got to come up with real terms for this bet because I'm in on anything. Well, since then, the Phillies have moved from 3.5 runs a game to 4.36. They've scored 7 in 4, at least 7 in 4 straight games.
Yes, they have.
So
yes,
you
have.
Are looking like a prophet today.
No, you know what's funny? And the reason why, and just so people know, the reason why I came to that number, because there was a stretch, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, they've cooled off it to this point. But the Braves were averaging like 7 or 8 runs a game.
I think they're still over 6.
They had a high average at the beginning of the season, and that's why I kind of came with this with that number, because I felt like, that they were going to be on par with the Atlanta Braves. And so that's why I came to the number 6. But you know what really kind of had me kind of like, I don't know, that might have been too high, is when Scott Fresky got on Friday.
He almost did like a double take. Like,
he was like, wait a minute.
For the season?
No. And I was like, wait a minute. But I felt confident in saying it because I was like, wait a minute. The Braves are off to like a seven-game average. So I'm like, the Phillies are, I feel the Phillies are right there. So that's where I got, that's where I got the number.
So we're a long way to go until you're dead right on this. And I mean, it is, you said it, I'll say it too. It's fair to point out it was the White Sox and Rockies. But look, the offense has been on fire. Hugh, Rojas is no longer a day-to-day thing that we worry about now. Like, he's blended in. Like, he's not hitting 300, but his OPS is over 600. I'm not holding my breath every time he's at the plate.
Yeah.
So that they're past that now. And I got to give Topper credit. Remember a couple weeks ago he sat him down for two games?
Yeah.
That's when this hot streak started. Topper always knows what these players need.
He has his finger on the
pulse.
Yeah,
he does.
Man. And I acknowledge that most people that watch baseball watch it with a football mentality.
We do that. I do.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, and it is. It's like most people won't admit it, but they do. And it's a roller coaster ride. But you have to be patient, and that's hard to do. It's very, very hard to do when you see the roller coaster ride that this offense has been on the last couple of weeks.
215-592-9494. Your reaction to the Phils? Trey Turner, white hot right now. Rojas has put himself in a position where we're not quite as worried as we were earlier in the season, and he does have a higher batting average than a lot of guys in this team. The offense has jumped up. Great homestand for the Phillies. And I keep saying it. I've said this since day one. This pitching staff is outstanding. This starting rotation right now is outstanding. And I know some people might say, well, they just play the White Sox and the Rockies, and those teams are terrible. And they are. I mean, the White Sox are basically a quadruple-A team. But for the full season, the Phillies rank first in innings pitched this season, second in ERA. I mean, this is a really, really good starting rotation right now that is rolling. They're in Cincinnati tonight with Ranger Suarez on the mound. 215-592-9494. You can react to all the Philly stuff. And, of course, the Sixers here. Can they win this series with this version of Embiid and what they're getting right now, what they got game one? I think they need way more out of Joel Embiid. That's it. I'm not calling him soft. I think he's trying his best. But what we saw Saturday, it just wasn't good enough. 0 for 5 in the fourth quarter, and he just couldn't lift. I mean, the fourth quarter, he couldn't move to give them what they needed. 215-592-9494. 95. Let's go to Dreya, who's up next. What's up, Dreya?
Dreya.
Yes, hey. How y'all doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Real quick. I'm going to make this really quick. I understand where Joe is coming from. Like, but I kind of, for the most part, do agree with Hugh. Because even though, yes, he did miss his last five shots on the fourth quarter, he still had 29 points, and he's only 70%. I feel like we need more of his supporting cast to step up. Because if Buddy Hield at least scored 4 points, and Tobias scored, I don't know, another 4 points, then we would have won. So I don't think it's fair to just put all this pressure on Embiid when he's not even 100%, when you have Buddy Hield not doing anything, 0 points, when we got the Tobias, who was supposed to be the assassin scorer, can't even score 10 points. Like, I don't think it's fair. So I think that today Buddy Hield is going to show up. Tobias is going to, scratch that. I don't think Tobias is going to do anything.
Yeah, let's not
anything.
Hold our breath, Raya, on Tobias.
Tobias going to give you, like, 6 points.
Exactly. So that's why I'm saying forget it. Even though we all know Tobias is not coming back next year, so if he wants to do good, he should give us, like, a good partying gift and give us, like, 17 points. I'm hoping, but that's probably not going to happen.
That's a lot.
But I know. All right, maybe 15. But Kelly Oubre, even though he showed a lot of heart, he was very aggressive. I need him to probably maybe average like 13, 14. Like that 10, we need a little bit more. So I just don't think that it's fair just for Joe to put all this pressure on Embiid. And I understand, like, his track record, he is always hurt. But this time, even though he was hurt, he still played. And it's obvious that he's hurt. So he stepped up. Maxie stepped up. So we need a third person to step up.
Well, I agree with you. Well, Dre, I especially agree on the Buddy Hield point. Dre, yeah, good phone call. But Buddy Hield, again, they traded for him to shoot, and he just decided not to shoot. I don't know what happened to this guy. Like, it's almost like, I don't know if he has the yips or he's just had a weird night, but he is one of the most high-volume three-point shooters in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, and he didn't get it done. You need your bench to step up. Bottom line is that's what it is. You need your bench because that's what it was. When you talk about the points that the Knicks had off the bench,
yep.
That's what really hurt you.
Well, McBride came in and was just hitting three.
Yeah, that really hurt you, man. And that's where we scored 7 points off the bench to their, like, 30-something points off the bench. So, yeah, we need to score more points
off
the bench.
So, yes. I mean, I understand the point, and I agree to
that. No, that's, like, damn near 40. My bad. 40 points.
Oh, it was a big gap. Yeah. I agree with the idea that the bench has to help more. But that we know this in the NBA and playoffs. It fluctuates, right? You're going to have a good bench night, like Batum two games ago.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have a bad one. Like, the Knicks are probably going to have a game or two in this series where
they're going to clunkers.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's the night.
Hopefully it is. We need it. McBride won't hit threes or whatever. But the stars need to be more stable. And Joel, for as great of a first quarter as he had, it just was not much after that. I think they need more of him. So our last caller mentioned that we're putting too much on Joel. I find this interesting. We do this with Joel sometimes, and we ask the bench to help out more, right? Or the role players to help out more. If Jalen Hurts plays way less than he normally does in the playoffs, do we talk about the linebackers?
Nope.
Okay. If Bryce Harper in the postseason, and he usually does the opposite, right? Bryce is better in the playoffs. But if Bryce plays worse in the playoffs, are we going to blame Alec Bohm?
Nope.
I know.
You know why I think part of that is?
Why?
Because I think a lot of people know or feel, I should say this, not know, but feel, like that's just not how Joel Embiid is built. I think he's trying to come into that, though. I really do. I believe in the big fella. I believe that time when he was trying to make that play, that he felt like that was his moment where he could make a difference and change the momentum. And unfortunately for him, his knee was clicking and popping, and he freaked out. I honestly think that's what happened. And when he freaked out, like it's something to be said about being in the moment and you think your body's going to do one thing and it does something else and it just zaps your confidence. Now, Joel Embiid has had a lot of these moments where people look at it and they get really, really frustrated about it. But I honestly think that's what happened, Joe. I think he was out there trying to take over and be comfortable because he was feeling good.
Mm.
And as soon as it happened, he was like, oh, snap. You know, it's I'm not there yet. And it just zapped his confidence. And he has to get that back. This is going to be one of those things where I feel like tonight is going to be a better night for him. But he has to find, you know, his happy medium. I don't foresee him ever taking another chance to taking a dunk like that again. No time.
Well, I think he should. And this Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you, learn about, and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. Was it smart for Embiid to make the self-alley-oop play? Early on in our poll, 50-50 on this one. And that's what I question
there. Let me vote
on
this poll.
Oh, you're going to move the meter.
I'm going to move the line.
So,
that's what I'm doing.
What I can't reconcile and why I didn't think it was smart is he himself is telling people, including Lisa Salters, he knows he's not 100%. So, like, he's putting himself at risk. He hasn't dunked much this year. I saw the stat over the weekend. He hasn't, for a guy that we remember, you know, I mean, he could take the rim down. Like, that's the kind of player he is. He hasn't dunked much, right? Because he's had a bad knee for I don't know how long. Who knows how long that knee was bothering him before the surgery, before it all came to fruition in January or whatever. So, like, he knows his body's not right. There's no reason for that play.
Was he medically cleared to play?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. Okay. So why do you not want the player who's cleared to play going 100%, doing everything that he's capable of doing out there on the court? He's supposed to be the best player on the floor.
It's unnecessary.
Why is it unnecessary to score the basketball?
Because he's one of the most skilled scorers we've ever seen. He doesn't need to do that to score.
Why, that was him being the most skilled basketball player we've ever seen, was it not?
He could lay it up.
So if he's 70-80%, do you want him playing 60% of that? No, you want him being his best that he can possibly be.
I'll use
all ridiculous.
The comparison I made earlier. 2 years ago in the postseason, Jalen Hurts had a bad shoulder. His first game back against the Giants in the playoffs, right? Where he played against Giants the regular season, mm-hmm. But his first game he really played was the playoff game. If you asked me before the game or during the game, hey, Eagles are down 3 points. It's a 4th and 6. Do you want him running into two linebackers in the second quarter?
Diving? I would say yes. The season's on the line.
No.
What are you nuts?
No.
What are you worried about Jalen Hurts for? Do you want to win the game or not?
No, because the game is not won in the second quarter, is my point.
But
the game
it
is
might
won
be.
In the
but taking the lead right there, you could. But what do you mean?
The game, come on. There's a million possessions in a basketball
that's
game.
That's exactly right. So, like, so one could be the difference.
No way.
Right?
No, the fourth quarter is the difference in a basketball game. And if he's
how
not.
Do you, well, okay, but it might not be
right,
if he doesn't make that play.
Yeah, but you're making it sound like that's the only way to score.
No,
he has a million tools in his toolbox.
Joe, they were in a drought. Yeah. Before that, Joel Embiid made a play to split. Like, the only issue that we had was that he landed badly on it.
Well, yes. Then you don't know me well enough by now because I would have screamed about it anyway.
Here's what I'm saying. The only problem with the whole thing was that he did land on it awkwardly.
Unfortunately, he did. All right, let's go to Will in South Philly. What's up, Will?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
What's up, Will? What do you think?
I think Embiid is soft as tall tissue, man. Embiid has never, since trust the process. Man, I've been stopped trusting the process. We need to get rid of him and get somebody else that at least wants to play. If you think about it, we play a lot more fast paced when Embiid is not there. When he's there, he comes down, stops at the key, wants the ball, wants to look around and shoot his little shot. He doesn't want to play down low. And he got exposed against Kevin Love. Kevin Love been in the league 15 years, put a body on him, pretty much shut him down low.
Well, and then Mitchell Robinson was very physical with him on Saturday, very physical.
Right, and but yet a former MVP. I'm not getting it.
So here's what it is for me, and we always appreciate the call. I don't think the word soft is fair. He's playing through injury,
and he went back out there.
Here's what I do think. I don't think he's comfortable playing the kind of basketball you got to play sometimes
in
the playoffs.
That's fair. He doesn't want to get his jersey dirty.
And now part of that's because he's always banged up, right? So, I think it takes more out of him. It's harder. It's harder to play that way for four quarters and have stamina at the end. I don't think he likes that kind of style of basketball.
Yeah, I mean, and that's fair to say. And that's where I keep saying you have to trust your body. I don't think he's there. He has to find a happy medium where he could be comfortable and whatever it is he decides to do, and he's not there yet. And for him, I would assume that it's kind of tough to be there because he's been so banged up over the last couple of seasons.
But didn't he look like he trusted his body and was willing to play hard in the paint when he made that alley-oop
dunk?
There you have it.
Stop telling him, Lisa Salters, I'm 80%.
Then he got hurt.
He can't have it both ways. Either you trust your body or you don't trust your body.
It's like, I'm not saying that you're wrong, but what I am saying is because I've kind of been through this. It's one of those things that, you know, you want to go hard and then something happens and you're like, oh, you know, and the first thing you think about is the process of trying to get back to the point that you already are at. And it's a little unnerving and you have to fight that mental game. You have to fight through it. I remember one time, Joe, I was, I forgot what game we was playing, but they drained my knee. Because it was the first time I've ever had my knee drained. Mm. And it was I had one of the worst games I've ever had because I was thinking about my knee being hurt. And I couldn't go all out because it just didn't feel right. You know what I mean? So I can understand what he's going through. You know, I was just kind of out there because it's one of those things where you try to trust your body, but just because it just happened, it was one of those things I just couldn't mentally get past it.
Yeah, I wonder if there's another way they have to approach this. I know they're on off minutes when he's not on the court are terrible. But like I wonder if it's better because in the fourth quarter he had no lift, right? He's trying to play 37 minutes, he has no lift. I wonder if it's a few less minutes, but then he's got something left in the tank in the fourth quarter. I don't know. I just think they need more out of him to win the series. David's in Westchester. What's up, David?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, David?
Joe, do you know why you never made it to the NFL with your one interception?
Well, there's a lot of reasons, David. I mean, if you looked at me, it wasn't in the cards.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm telling you, it's because you're soft. You know, you need to be a little harder.
How am I soft?
because you're ragging on Embiid. I mean, that play was phenomenal.
Silly is what it was.
It was not silly. This is where you're wrong, and this is where I'm going to correct you. So you're lucky you have me. I'm like Dr. Eskin here. I'm going to correct you, Joe. It wasn't soft. It wasn't silly. It was a great play, and you should relish that.
Well, what was it great for? Like, why was it great?
It would have been great. It would have been a hell of a momentum.
Oh, it would have been cool.
It would have been an awesome play if he would.
Meanwhile, Nikola Jokic is going to rack up titles without making a cool play in his life. This cool stuff is playground basketball.
It wouldn't look like
not championship basketball.
Bow.
Oh, we're going to have to disagree on this one. Okay. We usually agree 100% of the time, but we're going to disagree. So I was down at a Phillies game on Saturday, and I saw Johan Rojas in the warm-ups. And I don't have my card, but I turned a Spanish phrase into Hugh Douglas believes in you. And he started busting up. It was the greatest thing.
Did you hear that?
So, what's that?
Hugh Douglas believes in you. He told Rojas.
I thought he didn't speak English. I thought he spoke
Spanish. No, I transferred it to Spanish. Yeah. I had my card.
Oh, okay.
And he might know some by now. Who knows?
I didn't know. I'm just saying, because every time I see him, he's speaking Spanish.
Well, that's his native
language. Yeah, no, he's speaking Spanish. And he even laughed in Spanish, Hugh, but it was the same laugh as English. So I don't know.
A chuckle's a chuckle. Universal.
But he knows who you are, Hugh. I was like, you know, it was like El Grande, Hugh Douglas, and like that. Yeah. I mean, it was bad, but he got the gist of it.
That's good.
And he was cracking up. I was like, so that's why he's doing good, Hugh. It's because of you, man.
Is that right?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I can't take any of that credit, but I appreciate it.
No, Hugh, you got to roll with that one. David, man, good phone call. We always appreciate your phone call. How about that? You helped. If this works, if Rojas is a long-term piece here in center field, you get credit for it.
I hope so, man. I really hope so. I like the young cats, man. I like pulling for the young cats, the ones that don't get that much shine, the ones that are trying to find themselves in this NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball.
The Thundercats.
I'm for all the Thundercats out there.
You know what I have noticed with Rojas? He's swinging and missing a lot less. He's not chasing bad pitches.
He's getting comfortable.
Yeah. Well, he now leads the team in steals. I think he has more steals than Trey. Like it's close. When he's out there, like when he actually gets on the bases, he can steal. We know he could play defense.
He's a threat. He's becoming more of a threat.
It's been a tremendous last week and a half for him getting his season, you know, on track here. And obviously Trey at the top of the lineup is just, I mean, it feels like two hits a night and a lot of them are extra bases. He's been great.
How about that Schwarber?
Schwarber with a home run yesterday. Boom. How many does he have now? I mean, it's amazing with Schwarber. No matter what he does, no matter
clogging up those bases like he does.
Yeah, and no matter what he does with his season, it always lands in the same place. He's going to hit 40 home runs.
Yeah,
he always does.
Easy.
He's very consistent. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all the phone calls after the break. Where are you after Saturday's game? I think they need more out of Embiid. Hugh thinks they could win it with this version. And we talked about Embiid's knee. But is there another injury we have to think about when it comes to the big fella? Something else happened on Saturday. We'll hit that next. Any updates we get on Max? He was missing shoot around today with an illness. We'll pass those along. 215-592-9494. Lot to get to here. Eagles draft in a couple days. The Sixers, can they win with this version of Joel? And the Phillies, red hot right now. Six in a row. The best pitching in the National League. And Trey and Rojas making Hugh look like the baseball guy around here. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The road to the NBA Finals starts now. And new customers on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. Tonight, we're going to go over Buddy Hield threes because he better shoot some threes tonight. We'll go under Tobias points because I just need him off the court for my own sanity. And let's go with over for Kelly Oubre rebounds. Go to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to get started. FanDuel Sports, because the official partner of 94 WIP. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA.